If they extract those attributes, combine them with skill, they're unstoppable. Period. That's what pro athlete community is designed to be, is like, we got to accelerate growth, amplify opportunities, and we got to do it with the right people. And we're not going to stop until every player gets what they deserve.
Welcome back to another episode of The Burn. I am Ben Newman, and you know how we do this every single week. We're bringing you a story of an athlete, an entertainer, a celebrity, somebody in the business world who has recognized that why and purpose is not enough. There's this underlying burn, and when they connect to that underlying burn, it ignites their why and purpose and causes them to be disciplined in their daily action on the days they don't want to do it, but especially after they win. And today is one of those episodes that is special for me, because when we talk, like, this episode is long overdue. This is like 7 years long overdue. 7 years ago, I walked into Caleb Thornhill's office at the Miami Dolphins, and we were both Spartan dogs. And so the Spartan dog mentality is, once a Spartan dog, always a Spartan dog. And if you're a Spartan dog, you guys are going to roll together. And it was really interesting for me, because when I walked into the office, Caleb gets up, and it was like we had been friends for 20 years. Now, I was at Michigan State while his brother was actually there. Caleb came a few years after me, but he treated me just like we had known each other for years, which I've never shared it with him specifically this way, but it was a really special thing, because when you walk into an NFL facility, it's a very protected environment. You have to be very careful who you let in and who you let walk around your buildings and the walls. And we built an amazing relationship, and it's turned into an incredible friendship. It's created an iron sharpens iron opportunity. It's opened up doors for me to be able to do some things and to impact some former players and current players that I never would have had the opportunity to do. And I don't thank you enough, Caleb Thornhill, but I'm so grateful for our relationship. And we keep finding ways to do so many impactful things together, from boot camps in Vegas to training camps in Miami to kicking off events and testing things to whether or not they would or wouldn't work. But when you get Spartan dogs together, they always find a way. And so it took 7 years, but we found our way, and here you are on The Burn. Caleb Thornhill, welcome finally to The Burn.
I appreciate it, Ben Newman. And you know what's funny about that time that we met in Miami, to your point, think about the closet we were in. We were literally Podial closet, which was my office in the old training facility in Davie, Florida, that was just too small. And literally, it's like humble beginnings. You know what I mean? Like, that place humbled me. And it was such a great place for two men like you and I to meet, to be able to connect the Spartan dogs, because literally there's nowhere to go. We're in a closet. So we had a great conversation. And it's, I'm going to be honest with you, let's reciprocate, right? Like, I think too many people, hey, Ben, what I did for you, it's a two-way street, right? Like, me and you have just been servant leaders, and we both tried to help one another, because we're all about elevating lives. And so it's cool to watch what doors you've been able to open for me as well, and the impact, and even stepping out of my comfort zone to go impact more individuals. So I appreciate it, and long overdue to be on The Burn, so I'm excited to be here.
Well, you know, it's interesting, long overdue, but probably the exact right time, because there are so many stories that we could have told in past episodes about player relationships or what happened at this camp, or, hey, Ben, I brought you in for the rookies again, and you know, this happened or that happened. But your entire resume of what you've done in the game of football as a player, what you've done as an executive, what you've done in doing things the right way, spans a period of time that most people would have been unwilling to commit to because of how hard it is. And people don't see that. And when I think about you now running PAC, the pro athlete community, you making the tough transition, I mean, having to connect to your burn more than ever, to walk away from a vice president, because yes, you were in a closet when we met, but when you left the Dolphins organization, you were a vice president of the Dolphins organization. You were a vice president role within your role of player development. That is a huge opportunity. Many people would call it a safety net, a life of comfort that you left for a bigger purpose that goes all the way back to your burn. And I want you to share with everybody your burn, because I think it's so significant, your story and how much the burn means to you.
I appreciate that, Ben. And I love being on this with Ben, because what do? You elevate positions. I never got to VP, right? But but you know, to be connected with the owner and work on some tremendous initiatives that helps the players, man, what an amazing feat. As you can look behind me and see all these pictures, some on Shark Tank. But just to your point, walking away and connecting to the burn more than ever dates back to my father, you know, and you think about, I was blessed to have a father for 21 years of my life that quite frankly was, you know, he earned the name Mad Dog, right? Charles Mad Dog Thornhill. And so when you grow up in a house like that, you know what time it was. The standard, as you always say, Ben, was extremely high. And it was really cool growing up, because walking through the grocery store, even though it took 3 hours, right? You get later on in life, you're like, dang, why did it take 3 hours? Why does he keep talking to people? People were stopping him because of the impact he had made in their lives, right? Mm. So Ben, think about this. We're in there shopping at Meijer up north, as everybody knows, which I still miss that place. And you're talking about a place that people said, man, you remember serving in the juvenile detention center? I'll never forget what you said to me. And because your impact on me, my life has been going well. They tell about their family. They tell about their kids. And something my father had done for them during a small portion of his life, whether he went to go work in Sergeant of Arms at the Capitol in Lansing, Michigan, the same stories about, man, your father always lights up the room. Man, like, it was amazing to hear all these stories growing up, Ben. And then, you know, unfortunately, as you fast forward and I go to Michigan State University and follow under my father's legacy, who he played at, you know, 65, 66 national champions at Michigan State University, to walk into Michigan State University after my brother, who dominated, was an academic All-American and really, you know, in terms of talent, let's just call it what it is. My dad, my brother, and then me, right? we'll continue on that in a little bit. But I had to set it up in a way, Ben, where you kind of understand the history and the standard that was set of the, like, dominating the day, but also overflowing in other people, right? So like hearing that every single day and then going to Michigan State, I'm going into my senior year. I wear the number 43 because my dad wanted us to have our own identity, right? My brother was 50. He didn't want to fall. Hey, don't wear my number. Carve your own path, right? Mm. This is your time. My dad always stepped away from that limelight. This is your guys' time. Enjoy it. But before my senior year, you know, unfortunately, on December 21st of 2006, I experienced one of the hardest moments of my life, and still to this day, hard to even talk about, of watching my father pass away suddenly in front of his own two eyes, right? And like seeing that God type figure lose life and to never come back in a physical form was one of the hardest things I've ever had to deal with as a human being. And so when that happened to me, you know, a lot of grieving happened, obviously, with the impact he had in my life. But if you fast forward just a little bit, and I got a call from Coach D'Antonio, who was the head coach at that time, had just become the head coach, and says, hey, Caleb, I want to know, before we start selling these jerseys in the bookstore, do you want to switch from number 43 to number 41, in which your father wore, to honor him this last season of your career at Michigan State University? And that moment right there, like a switch. Now, keep in mind, I was debating whether to even play football. I just coming out of my fifth surgery. So do I play football? My physical body has taken a beating. My mental ability, my spiritual has been taking a beating and losing something. And so I was like, man. And so that moment in particular, Ben, when you think about Coach D'Antonio saying that to me, and as you talked about slipping from number 43 and putting on that 41 to honor him one last time, to go out there and give it everything I got to live for him on that field. And there was no better feeling to do that and to represent for him one last time. And the second thing is to walk on that field. And I don't know if I've shared this with you, in the first game, first home game, to walk on that field with my brother as the honorary captain, linking arms, walking to midfield, me, my brother, and my dad from above, and him obviously in my jersey and wearing his number. That moment right there, Ben, I don't know where I would be, quite frankly, if I didn't make that decision, if I didn't get that call, right, to be able to do that. To live for a burn that's greater than me, to carry on a legacy, as you talk about, pick up that pen and write those chapters that he didn't get a chance to write. Like, I don't know where I would be without that switch inside of me till this day. Like, that is the burn for me that continues to light a path of impact that continues no matter what the circumstances are.
And, you know, every time you share your dad's story, it's so impactful for me. And I visualize literally you slipping into that 41 jersey for the first time. And, you know, one thing that I just thought about, individuals coming up to your father at Meijer, coming up to your dad at grocery stores, coming up to your dad at a life of service that he had off the field, right? So that's not just because you win football games. It's because of a manner in which you carry yourself in your life. You know, it's interesting. You made a comment to me. This was probably year three or four. It was such a blessing that you would keep bringing me back, you know, to the Dolphins year after year. And you said, man, when's the last time you were back at Michigan State? And I was like, man, I haven't been back since school. And you're like, what? Like, no, I will get you back to Michigan State. And you didn't take me back for an on-field football game experience. You didn't take me back for a basketball game. You brought me back to Michigan State for your Apex Academy. And you just mentioned in an example that people came up and thanked your father because of what he was doing in the juvenile detention centers and in the communities with the youth. The Apex Academy is going into that same area that you grew up in, going to the youth that don't get the experiences as others, and you're providing them, and that's what you brought me back for. And I remember we were giving you hell because we were staying in the dorms. And it was like, I went to Meijer to go get a fan. I'm like, brother, they're in the air conditioning in these dorms. And you were like, deal with it, man. We're here to serve these kids. And like, you've gone on to carry on his legacy, Caleb. And I know you always joke that your brother got the better genes and he went to the NFL and your dad, and you're the one who didn't go to the NFL. But, man, you went to the NFL, and you've impacted so many players, and then you've utilized that platform to go back and give to kids. Tell us how much it's meant to you to carry on that part of your dad's legacy, to serve your communities and to give all of yourself to a purpose bigger than you.
Ben, I'm going to be honest. To put into words is very tough, but I will tell you this right now. Like, when I think about things that I want my kids to have and that were passed on to me through my father and my mother and my brother and the things I experienced growing up, Ben, I don't know. I just feel it's very selfish. Like, the community that raised me, the family that raised me, to your point, there's so many kids out there that don't have the same opportunities, right? Exposure breeds expansion. I'm just a true believer of that. I'm also big on my mission, right? To engage, educate, and empower individuals to reach their full potential. And when we're talking about football, we're talking about on and off the field. So to be able to pick that up, my father did that. My father engaged, he educated, and he empowered, right? And I wrote that after he passed away. But now that I reflect back, man, that's what he did. That's why we were at Meijer for 4 hours, 3 hours, however long it took to get to the conversations. But like, that's what he did. And I think, you know, for me, Ben, to be able to be in a position to be able to overflow into other people, right? Because you really can't overflow. People don't understand this. It's not selfish. You can't overflow until you fill yourself up first, right? So we have to do the daily disciplines that allow us to show up as our best version every day to be able to keep that water going to overflow into other empty cups, right? And so, like, for me, it's been huge for me to be able to understand, Caleb, you got to take care of yourself mentally and spiritually, physically. Your family, obviously make a living for yourself to even have the ability to show up and overflow into other people. So to be able to start a nonprofit that we started back in 2011, Ben, think about this. It was the first time I was working for the Dolphins, right? Like, I just got hired in my first year, I should say. and I make a decision, you can't tell me God didn't do this. There was a lockout in 2011. So with that lockout, no players were allowed to come in the facility from literally from, I don't remember if it was from January until training camp started, which was like a switch that went on. It was like July 28th or something, where they allowed players for the first time to go back into an NFL facility. Now, what was everybody else doing? Everybody's like, what do we do? Like, I'll never forget it. People coming into my office, like, don't know what to do with the day. Think about this for a second. That was the time that we developed the nonprofit during that time period that we're given during COVID. And I'm so thankful that we started it there, was able to get and do the camp at Michigan State that you went to, that you were burning. Speaking of the burn, you were burning in that dorm room, obviously. But to be able to do that and go back and show kids what college is like, right? Take them through personal and professional development. You want to know what you want to make it to the next level? We're getting up at 6 a.m. and we're not going to bed till 10 p.m., right? Like, we're going to show you what it's like to be a true student athlete or a true whatever it is that you want to do next in life. And we only do an hour and a half of football. The rest is all test prep, personal and professional development, having some fun with the kids, letting them swim, right? But taking them to Detroit, exposing them to different things. Like, that, Ben, to me, being able to do that in 2011 and still continue it today means everything to me. Like, when you get to the end of the road and we see that dash, that Ben Newman dash on that tombstone, it's going to speak to what we did on earth. The people who are speaking at that funeral are going to be talking about that dash and what it meant to them. That person, that name, they're going to speak about the impact you had on their life because you're no longer physically there. And for me, it's all about leaving a legacy where people continue to take what we've taught them and be disciples of the word and do that to the next generation. Because life is but a vapor. And that's all that dash is.
I'm gonna do something that you're gonna be mad at me for, and I don't care because this is through a Zoom screen. And yes, you're bigger than me and stronger than me, and you'll make me do RDLs or all those crazy workout things after I put you through a workout. So you can't physically put your hands on me, so you can't stop me from doing what I'm gonna do. But one thing you guys are gonna figure out about Caleb Thornhill is that he's one of the most humble human beings you'll ever meet. I mean, like, I've had conversations with him like, hey, now that you're growing pack, like, man, you need to get on social media. You need to share some of these things, like who you are and what you've done. And it's so not who you are. But there's something that I always found so unique about your work with the Dolphins. So everybody you just heard, and you're also going to hear this in the mental toughness forum, because there's a quote that I'm about to share in order to set the stage for where I want to go with this. You're one of the speakers for the Mental Toughness Forum, which I'm so excited for people to hear your message when that drops August the 1st when we kick off that event. But the way you managed building relationships and the player development for the Dolphins was like nothing the NFL had ever seen. Most of the time, that job is, hey, we're going to manage getting you everything that you need. And the other resources don't really matter as much as your Pro Bowl or our Super Bowl or how many wins or how many times we're going to make it to the playoffs in a row. And what I admired, it was this quote, if the man isn't right, the player won't be right. And in reviewing all the materials and all the amazing speakers we have for the Mental Toughness Forum, like, I heard you say that again, and I've heard you say it so many times. And that was so important to you with the Dolphins. It was, we got to make sure the man is right. And I think there's so many places, not just the NFL, but other organizations where it's, let's make sure the results will be right. And then if the man is right as a byproduct of the results, so be it. As opposed to, I'm going to make sure the man is right. And you've done that with Apex. You've done that with the Dolphins. So much so, I know this is something you would never say, you've helped develop other directors of player engagement the right way to go on and win Super Bowls in their organizations by developing people the right way. And I know that happened in Los Angeles. I know it happened in Tampa Bay. And when you look at trees, a lot of times you hear a coach's tree. And I said this to you one time in Miami. I'm like, man, you've got like the player development tree. And I know you're not going to go into this, but you deserve this. You have built a player development tree that has now enabled you to do what you're doing at PAC. to do what you're doing and to really, really disrupt what was just a comfortable position for many people in these NFL offices and say, no, no, no. If the man isn't right, the player won't be right. So why did you do it this way, Caleb? Why did you draw a line in the sand and say, like, fire me, but this is the way I'm doing this?
Ben, I think you have to come with the standard, right? And you talk about it all the time, and I appreciate those words more than you probably know. And you're right. Like, I don't take much time, and I think this is something that probably I need to work on, to think about those things that have happened in the past and how they've showed up in other people. But when you're busy moving, as you know, it's hard sometimes to reflect and find that space and gratitude. So thank you for that. But you had to draw a line in the sand, and I had to draw a line in the sand very early on, Ben, because guess what? At 25 years old, you think my brain was fully matured? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that's, I just would turn 25, Ben, when I got hired for the director of player development, as they called it, for the Miami Dolphins. So I had to draw a line in the sand in my own life to make sure the man was right and to grow up and accelerate my growth faster than I may have wanted to make the sacrifices necessary. So even in my own journey of accelerating my growth and learning from so many great mentors over the years that helped me accelerate my growth, is that I knew right away, drawing the line in the sand and defining who I am, what I stand for, and the impact I wanted to have for others and in others had to be done right then and there. And so when you talk about that, Ben, that's when the line was drawn right then and there. And obviously being around elite people like Bill Parcells, like Tony Sperano, rest in peace, Jeff Ireland, who I'm always thankful for, to give me an opportunity as a young kid at 25 in Miami, one of the hardest places to be a pro in the National Football League at 20 years old when you're getting drafted, or 21, to keep your mind right on the right things and fixate your eyes on the things that truly matter. So for me, it was putting that stake in the ground and saying, you know what? We're going to relentlessly develop the man. Because understanding if the man is right, if everything is going right in your life, if you're able to do what? Have great relationships, understand how to dissolve conflict very quickly, communicate effectively, to learn how to manage my money and not it manage me, to dictate my terms of like how I'm going to show up every day, to build the habits necessary in my life that allow me to earn what I want on the field and off the field. So like, if I can relentlessly pursue a better man, that person is going to show up to work what? Every day.
Better. Yeah.
Better. You're going to get the whole person. On the opposite side, we know this. If things aren't going right, if you're young, if your relationship, I'll never forget getting a call from a player. And by the way, he told me the story later that when he showed up, Ben, to a game, he couldn't even think about what his assignment was. Why? He had been in an argument with a significant other coming into the stadium on the phone. Disrupted his old mindset where he couldn't show up as his best version. So when we talk about if the man's not right, the player will never be right, that's just a small example, but we were going to relentlessly, and I was going to relentlessly pursue making sure the best version of individuals was extracted from them and that they accelerate growth faster than they want to at a young age to see the results and what would happen in their life if they're just willing to sacrifice a little bit. And a little bit more, and a little bit more. And all of a sudden, what makes me the most proud, when I watch those guys on the field, Ben, when they get the big contract, I know that that better man, number one, deserves that. I'm so happy for them because it's going to change their family's life forever. They're going to be great stewards of that result and be able to do things differently as a man that most people can't do at 25, 26, 27, 30, 31. They're going to be able to make better decisions. So I know if the early intervention always works, it always works. And I wanted to relentlessly pursue that early intervention to be genuine, authentic, and keep it real. I didn't want to tell them what they wanted to hear. If they were looking for that, I'm the wrong guy for you. I'm going to tell you the truth. And when you know when somebody loves and cares about you, cares for you, it's called radical candor. And I'm going to be as radical as I could be and give you the truth, even though it may hurt. And that's where I stood in drawing that line in the sand, Ben, is I'm not going to be your friend and just co-sign everything. It's to literally help you show up as a better man, father, husband. And I know if you do that, you're going to show up as a better player.
You know, it's so powerful hearing you say this. And I set this up this way intentionally, the manner in which I ask these questions, because I wanted people to hear your passion, how you went about doing things. But everything you just explained wouldn't have happened without your courage. And there's a story that actually happened before you developed that mindset, before you developed that attack, before you developed that radical candor, before you said, I will not move away from what my beliefs are, standard over feelings. I will not allow my feelings. I won't fear what somebody upstairs says. And when I say upstairs, sometimes the executive offices in these NFL buildings are above where the players are. And there was a conversation where people pushed back on what you wanted to do before you built what you just told us you did. What was that like to stand your ground as this young kid? I mean, essentially, you stood your ground and you said, not only am I drawing a line in the sand, like, man, I'm building a fort, and you're either going to let me do it my way or you can tell me to go ahead and leave. But I will do it my way because there's a right way. What was that like, standing in that office and standing your ground in order to now create the impact that you've had, not just in the Dolphins organization, but across the whole league?
Yeah, I think, you know, when somebody, you know, what's the man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You know, as the saying goes, like, if your value and your core values and your mission and your vision gets fractured, you're not going to be a complete person, right? Like, I'm telling you right now, if somebody says, hey, Ben, you can no longer go on stages anymore, okay? Just, you're not going to be allowed to do that. That would fracture you. You get a lot of satisfaction out of impacting lives on that stage, and you've done a hell of a job of it. So when I'm in this office and somebody tells me we don't give a damn about what players are doing off the field, going back to school, developing them, you know, in areas outside of the game of football, when somebody says that to you and I'm in a position that I'm in, that it's why I signed up for the job, that's where, again, you draw the line in the sand and say, no, I'm going to show up and I'm going to do what's right for these players, right? And what they deserve, okay? We're here to win football games. I understand that. Both can be accomplished. And we're going to do both at a high level here. I think too many people try to just say, hey, it has to be this way. If we let them focus on this, they're not going to be worried about football. That's garbage, okay? Mm-hmm. People keep their head on a swivel all the time. We can compartmentalize how you manage your time and balance your time, as we call time blocking and tackling. If you want to give a football analogy, we can do that really well. And we've proven it over time, right? So in that office, in that moment, I drew the line in the sand and said, not today. Not today are you going to take away my values, what I believe in, my mission, my vision of why I stepped foot into this space. Not today. Matter of fact, not any day. And I think for me, Ben, that was a critical moment in my life to be able to figure it out within the facility of like how I was going to approach this, and then to see what it birthed into. You know, pressure sometimes births, not sometimes, usually all the time, pressure births something beautiful. No different than the Red Sea parting, right? And like watching that birth, that's like a, you know, like a birthing of something. Even though they went back in the wilderness, it was going to birth something beautiful. Is that for me, that birthed something beautiful in me, because we got a chance to do what we like to call the business combine and got a chance to coin that with our owner, Stephen Ross, who was a huge advocate for making this happen. And I'm so thankful for him of opening up the doors and taking a chance and saying, when I called him in San Diego, by the way, you're in California right now, I'll never forget, was in a hotel room in San Diego when I wanted to tell him the idea that I had. I'll never forget it. I pitched him, hey, Mr. Ross, what do you think about, you know, bringing a group of guys for the Dolphins up to New York City to see what you do on a daily basis, how you've made your money, how you live your life, who else you're around, all the elite people that you surround yourself with in different industries and companies and corporations. How cool would it be to bring up a group of Dolphins players to gain access to that information beyond the field, to see what you do and open up your doors? And lo and behold, fast forward, it was the first time we had 16 guys go up to New York City that unlocked, listen to this, unlocked something I couldn't even imagine. Ben, walking down the street, Spencer Paysinger in New York City, when we went up there, said, I got an idea about my life story growing up. He shared it down the streets of New York City. And he talked about his life growing up in California, inner city, you know, suburbs to inner city, football, growing up, what it was like in both. That was the initial seed that planted All American that we see on TV today. That's crazy to me. We literally, exposure breeds expansion. Mm. We exposed people in 2016, the owner's willing to take a risk. I was willing to stand my ground. And because of that, look how many things it's birthed. And that's only the initial point of 2016. So Ben, for me, when you talk about somebody listening right now is like, man, I need to draw a line in the sand in my life moving forward. You know what? I've compromised too long. I played my comfort card too much. I just can't do it anymore because I believe I'm supposed to be doing this. Well, no. Step fully into it. Draw a line in the sand. Set the standard and know what you can do and what you're possible and capable of executing on to live your true purpose. There's too many people nowadays in America compromising. I believe that. Compromising their values for money. Compromising a lot of things for things that are never going to bring fulfillment. Mm. And so somebody's facing something right now in pressure. I don't know who it is that needs to understand this pressure is trying to birth you into something. Get ready to step into it. It's going to be uncomfortable, but what's going to come out of it is going to be absolutely beautiful.
And let me, that's a perfect segue for just a final question as we wrap things up. Your courage led to tough conversations, which led to your courage to have Mr. Ross see you in a completely different light and to create new opportunities for the Dolphins, which then created business combines for players throughout the NFL, which then created more opportunities, which created conversations with Troy Vincent and Roger Goodell that most people wouldn't have the courage to walk into those NFL main offices up in New York and even have. But you maintained that standard to the point where you had to go home and look at Tara and your beautiful children and say, babe, I'm leaving the Dolphins. And you have a brand new, beautiful home and responsibilities. And you left the Dolphins in order to start PAC, the pro athlete community. And there were all these amazing business relationships. Chip Pawsik, who's an amazing human being. And, you know, just all of this support. And I think of people from the real estate community and all these amazing individuals you've introduced me to that you met who were there to support you, to love you, to say, Caleb, go. And now you're doing it. But I want you to talk about PAC, how much it means to you, what you're continuing to do for players. But I want you to make sure, who is your first client? Because I think a lot of times, you know, people say, you know, when you left the Dolphins, like, what happened? Like, did they throw you out and throw away the key? Like, yeah. Do they want anything to do with you anymore? So I think the uniqueness is when you stand your ground, you don't become complacent. You live a life of courage. You live a mad dog life of service. Caleb, tell us what's happened, how the Dolphins have continued to support you, and how much passion you have for now what's right across your chest there, the pro athlete community.
Man, Ben, to your point, the courage to even have that conversation, you know, with my family, with my wife, and you know you got the right one when she's like, whatever you want to do, I just want you to be happy, right? Like, thankfully. doesn't mean it doesn't come with some speed bumps, but that's what it's all about. But Ben, to be honest with you, if I could just reflect for a second and 13 years with the Miami Dolphins, that, you know, was my dream job, you know, at the time, right, at you know, 25 years old. And what that organization poured into me, okay, year in and year out, we may have had GM shifts. We may have had coaching changes. I got to meet so many great people and elevate my own life just by being in that building through the 13 years. I could never repay that. I'm just keeping it real. I'm blessed to have had that opportunity and still thankful to this day. And so many still great people still there. With that, you know, Mr. Ross, I wanted to let him know when I left, I said, I want to be able to do the business combine specifically only. I'm only doing one team model. And I want to do it with the Dolphins because I'm indebted to this place. So when I told him that, you know, he wanted to continue that as well. But I've just kept it real. You're the only team I want to do. Only team model I want to do. And so we were able to obviously get that done as my first client being the Miami Dolphins, which is pretty darn cool for how much they've done for me in my life and how much I owe to them. And really the players that I love, like, inside and out, that are still in that locker room that you want to continue to invest in so they can elevate their life. So the courage to have that conversation and to let them know and be truthful, because there's literally no other team that we've accepted up to this point. We've had 75 current players go through. We've had 20 former players. We're getting ready to accept another cohort of 20 former players in our next chapter, U Business Combine. And we haven't even been in operation a year. So pretty darn cool to understand what pro athlete community and like the business combine. And when you're talking about, like, look at this. I mean, we brought guys to LA to Shark Tank on set because of Matt Higgins, right? Like, because of his relationship with Stephen Ross. Like, thankful in terms of meeting all those individuals that are just a phone call away. I think that's pretty cool, right? And so what pro athlete community, when we talk about education, when we talk about experiences, we talk about a trusted network of people and mentors that truly care about you, and tying this red thread together that allows you to elevate every aspect of your life. Invest in you relentlessly, cultivate powerful relationships and elevate your life, and most importantly, others around you. That's what we're designed to do. These professional athletes, I'm telling you right now, this 78% stat of guys being broke, divorced, and unemployed, you know, when the game is over after 2 years, is a bunch of bullshit. And it pisses me off, quite frankly, to even hear that number. Because the guys that I'm watching, that I'm seeing, and seeing what they're doing and dominating in real estate, entrepreneurship, as passive investors, in VC, in corporations, running Fortune 500 companies, like, it is mind-blowing. Writing scripts, look at Spencer Mason, right? Like, the list can go on and on and on. So all we need to do, sometimes we, you know, Ben, as you know, you spoke at Next Chapter U Business Combine in our OG class, the original graduates. Sometimes they just need a little bit of belief and confidence instilled back in them to believe again and to understand it's bigger than that legacy piece that you talk about, Ben, that they're stepping into something new, just like I had to slide into that 41. These guys are going to slide into something else. And once they figure that thing out, nobody stops them, because we know the qualities they have. You dealt with them, Ben. You know the qualities. If they extract those attributes, combine them with skill, they're unstoppable, period. That's what pro athlete community is designed to be, is like, we got to accelerate growth, amplify opportunities, and we got to do it with the right people. And we're not going to stop until every player gets what they deserve. In the NFL, and when we get into professional sports, if God calls us to do other sports, that's what we're going to do. But I can't thank people enough for our community and the people that are investing in these players like yourself. And just excited about what the future holds, man, and to be more courageous, to step into faith more, and to not compromise anything, just like that conversation, for the mission of PAC and PAC, and staying clear on what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And so, man, that gives you a little glimpse into to pro athlete community. We're excited to invest in more players moving forward.
Well, Caleb, I can't thank you enough for how you show up in life. I thought you were going to touch on something there, and I'm glad that you didn't. And it's your five P's of how you live every single day. So make sure everybody tunes in to Caleb's talk during the Mental Toughness Forum, where he also shares those five P's that'll make a big difference. It's all about the intentionality in which you live your life. And Caleb, I just want to leave you with this. Number one, you know I love you. I've got your back. It's, you know, we've had so many fun conversations, tough conversations, impactful conversations. The best is yet to come. And I always look forward to our time together. I just want to share this with you, and I never said this to you. You know, a lot of times a player, you know, you'll say to them when their career ends, they slipped out of that jersey. You know, we could say it in college or in the pros. you never slipped out of that 41 that Coach D'Antonio encouraged you to put on. It's making me emotional saying it because, you know, the loss of a parent for each of us is what fuels us and gives us our burn. But you never slipped out of that 41, and you are making your dad so damn proud with that act of service. And I just want your kids to be able to watch this back and say, when daddy's walking through the grocery store and it takes forever, there's a reason why, because of the people that he impacted. So I just want to ask, I never ask much of our audience, but I want to ask all of you, please share this episode, because Caleb's, he doesn't share his story enough. You know, if you're interested in having an impact with, like, somebody who's doing things the right way to impact these players, because Caleb will have an impact around the country, and there's players who fly in from around the country. There's opportunities. It's a nationwide opportunity. Reach out to Caleb. You're going to get him. Ask him direct questions. You know, they have an amazing team, but he has a heart to do things the right way to make a difference, and there's all kinds of opportunities to learn and grow and impact together. So make sure to reach out to Caleb. Make sure to share this episode. Caleb, thank you for your brotherhood. Thank you for embracing me as a Spartan dog 7 years ago and never letting me go. I love you, and I appreciate you, brother.
Love you, Ben. Appreciate you having me on. We finally got it done, baby.
And as you all can see now, we got it done in the right time. This would not have been the same episode had we filmed it 6 years ago or 4 years ago or 2 years ago. And so to each and every single one of you, don't wait. Don't choose to not be courageous. Listen to Caleb's words. Don't choose to live a life of complacency. Don't choose to stay on the wrong side of the line. Draw that line in the sand. Stand your ground. Be the person you are destined to be. Connect to that burn and fight like a Spartan dog. Until next week, this has been The Burn.
This episode of The Burn Podcast is powered by BenNewmanCoaching.com, your number one source for increasing consistency in your life and building the mental toughness habits required to live the life of your dreams. From self-paced courses to live coaching with Ben and everything in between, head over to BenNewmanCoaching.com and join the thousands of members working to unlock their peak performance every day.